This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. Here's a mixed economic report. The good news on Wall Street today came from an unlikely source, the financial sector. Wells Fargo projected record first quarter earnings of $3 billion. That sent bank stocks up, as well as the market as a whole. The Dow rose 246 points to close just above 8,000.
Our co-host Robert Siegel is in New York City this week, talking with people on Wall Street. What he's hearing is very different from what he heard there last fall. Today, Robert saw signs of spring on a trading floor that was moribund just a few months ago.
Back in October, not long after Lehman Brothers collapsed and the credit market seized up, Will Aston Reese showed me the trading floor at his firm. He's vice president for money market sales at Tradition Asia Securities. And on a wall full of whiteboards, you could watch the state of interbank lending, what loans banks were looking for, and what they were willing to make. Let's just say there was a lot of empty white space. His words back then, it was like watching paint dry. Well, I'm back with Will Aston Reese today, and today, the paint is dried?
Not dried, but it definitely is drying. We're seeing more of the non-bank lenders come back into the market, the money market funds, corporations, who were traditional buyers of fixed income instruments and certificates of deposits. They are coming back in and buying somewhat freely.
What do you think the people in this room, full of traders at their computer terminals, what do you think it is that they're waiting to see that would signal the real breakthrough and perhaps the end of this crisis?
Well, first of all, there's a lot of things that have been put into place correctly. The Fed has flooded the system with about $800 billion of excess reserves. But what needs to happen is that the banks and portfolios need to work the toxic assets off of their books. What also needs to happen is that the stress test needs to run its course so that some of the investors feel a little bit more comfortable investing or giving money to the banks.
So when that bank wants to borrow, it'll be a bank that's been approved by the United States Treasury, passed its stress test.
Yes, it'll get the United States Treasury seal of approval.
And today, the whiteboard, there's a lot more blue and red ink up on it now than there was a few months ago.
Indeed, yes.
Although Will Aston Reese of Traditional Asia Securities pointed out that there is still a lot more ink down the left-hand columns, banks that want to borrow, then down the right-hand columns of banks that want to lend. I asked about toxic assets and stress tests when I spoke with Bob Kelly a few blocks away. Kelly is the chairman and CEO of Bank of New York Mellon, which took $3 billion in TARP money last year. TARP is the Treasury's Troubled Asset Relief Program. That's money that Mr. Kelly says he is very eager to return. I asked him whether his bank still holds toxic assets.
We do. And
how much do you think?
It's hard to know in total, but we're a company that, say, on a pre-tax basis, earns between $4 and $5 billion a year, and we would have sustained a couple of billion dollars worth of write-downs on those assets. So the good news is that we were profitable every quarter last year, unlike many banks. We're very, very liquid, and our capital ratios are stronger than most.
I want you to try to help us get a picture of how things like the stress test and the toxic assets, how those things interrelate. That is, will somebody come to you, look over your books and say, Bob, we think Bank of New York Mellon should be getting that stuff off the books very soon. You get that off so we can declare you being a very healthy bank.
I guess I'm assuming there's a two-step process. We don't know everything that's going to happen yet, but I would say that the stress test was announced some months ago. We've all been, the top 19 banks in the country, have been going through this process of imagining a base case recession and what impact it could have on our earnings for the next 2 years, as well as capital ratios, and then something much more adverse, and said if things are a lot worse.
There's a depression. How
bad? Something really ugly. Yeah. And our hope would be that that process will be finished sometime, I hope, this month or perhaps early in May. And so we don't know how that will end up yet. And I think in concept, it is an excellent idea to do this. And so now we have to, I think, get the numbers out there and declare victory as a nation. Because most of the banks are healthier than what the average American thinks. I
mean, but do you think it's going to emerge that all of those banks will declare victory, or inevitably will some of them have to acknowledge defeat after this?
It's a good question. We don't know. And I don't think there will be a thing like acknowledging defeat. My hope would be that there might be, say, a simple way of thinking about this might be to announce three categories. The top category might be, this group of banks is really well capitalized, and gosh, you know, I think they might be allowed to repay TARP at some point this year. And then the next group could be well capitalized, but we don't think they should repay TARP yet. And then there's maybe a third group that might be something like, you know, not well capitalized and probably will need more capital.
This is, to many people, this is counterintuitive, which is your bank has a problem, you've got to keep more of the taxpayers' money on your books for a while longer. It seems somehow wrong. It seems backwards in some way.
Well, the reality is, in a time of extraordinary stress like that, it is very good to have the full faith and strength of the United States government supporting the banking system until it no longer needs it. Our expectation is that we will repay TARP at some point, hopefully this year. And I actually think that the taxpayer will end up with a very nice return from us in the end. And the last piece that has to happen, Robert, is this toxic asset repurchase. So there's going to be buyers and there's going to be sellers. And the question is, can they agree on a price?
Well, there'll be buyers and sellers. And in Secretary Geithner's plan, there'll also be the government, which will be assuming a lot of the risk to try to encourage, we think, to encourage the buyers.
Yes.
Did that plan, when you heard that plan, did you say, seems like a sensible idea, we'll be able to get this stuff off our books, or who thought up this, Rube Goldberg?
No, I think the concept is good if the buyers and sellers can agree on a price. I also think it's a good start.
Right.
Here's the way we think about it. It is an extraordinary illiquid market today. So our view is that the value of the securities that are on our books, the ones that we have written down, we think in the end, we think we're going to get most of that money back. And there's going to be, I think, many sellers of assets who are just not interested in the prices that the buyers want to offer because their returns are going to be extraordinarily high over the next 3 to 5 years. And why should we transfer all that value to, say, hedge funds or private equity firms when our shareholders have taken the downturn but not the upside on those securities? And that, in the end, is the most complicated part of this decision process.
You're saying maybe not so toxic is what you're saying.
The way when we thought about our write-offs in the fourth quarter, for example, we were still profitable, but we wrote down securities with a hit to our income statement of $1.2 billion.
Wow.
Of that $1.2 billion, we expect in the end that our losses will only be about $200 million. So we think we'll get most of that $1 billion back.
So your reasoning then is, if you get some 20 cent on the dollar offer for that security, you're saying, no, we think it's worth more than that. We think it's worth holding on to rather than that. What are we going to call toxic assets when banks decide they're so good we want to hold on to them?
Perhaps optimistic assets.
That's Bob Kelly, chairman and CEO of Bank of New York Mellon. It would be an overstatement to say that he's upbeat about the financial sector and the economy, but he does express a real sense of relief that I've heard elsewhere this week. The banks may not be out of the woods, but at least the financial forest fire has been extinguished. This is Robert Siegel.